Hi, everyone, and welcome to Behind the Numbers. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and we are coming to you live from the RVN television studios. If you've ever been told to watch your tone, and who hasn't when we were growing up, and maybe even sometimes as an adult, you understand that your tone of voice conveys a certain message. Today, we're going to take a really deep dive into what exactly that means, and I'm pleased to welcome Sean Austin, who's the founder and CEO at Helios Life Enterprises. Sean, welcome to Behind the Numbers.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to spend the time.
I am too. So tone of voice, I want to start by talking about what Helios does. You've got an algorithm that helps to identify voice change, voice tone differences, and basically help to understand what those changes in tone might mean. But I'm going to let you describe the company and introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been fooling around the AI space for essentially my entire career. Not too much of a history lesson, but a little bit about me is the days when I was part of Spotify's first acquisition was pretty foundational to what I thought, you know, was necessary in the world. So Spotify now has certainly dominated the music industry. They've fused AI into all their recommendation algorithms. I was part of this now a little over 10 years ago when they were just looking at doing anything with AI. They actually bought the AI company after they bought the one I was in. So this concept that audio and the properties around it are very important, certainly have stuck with me. And that's exactly what Helios does, but not around music. It's around spoken word and how important it is around our voice inflections, our tones, our meanings, the parts of us that are very innately human for our emotions, what that can mean for the capital markets. So think about a CEO who's very confident on what they're stating, or maybe one that's not so confident and getting asked a hard question. Those are detectable changes in voice. You need to crunch a lot of data. You need to do a lot of work to get it. But as you stated with the algorithms, if you can pull that together and hand it to a quantitative portfolio manager, those who can use information and data to do trades decisions, you can bring the game.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And when you talk about analysts listening in on earnings calls, for example, For decades, frankly, they've been listening to voice tone and trying to make their own determination, right? So what you're doing, although it's in an AI platform, is not necessarily what you'd call kind of a bleeding edge thought, if you will, right, Sean?
I would say I wouldn't call it a bleeding edge thought. It's needed. People have been doing voice analytics and things like healthcare, early onset Parkinson's detection before I even had an idea of Helios. And it's certainly just now being harnessed and possible, but we communicate all the time with one another. We use our voice tone consciously or subconsciously. In my opinion, and I've seen tons and tons of research companies now starting to form, it's essentially applicable to anything. This conversation has voice tone in it, right? Interviews, sales interviews, customers, meetings, calls, and beyond.
Yeah, I want to have you help us unpack what we can actually learn from vocal tone. I mean, you said something before we actually went on the air here today. You made a remark that when we last spoke that maybe I emphasized the importance of being timely for this appearance, and you detected something in the tone. Talk a little bit about what we can learn from tone of voice.
A lot and more is being uncovered every day. I mean, the very 40,000-foot view, normal speech, right, is you know when someone's having a bad day or not. Like, you know when someone's being very serious with you. You have these underlying as a person, and it does change based upon your geography and language, right? But there's these base understandings of emotion that come through that we're using, and to your point, we use it all the time. So what can we learn from it? I mean, first off, we're communicating all the time and using it and detecting people's emotions. As you start to go deeper, you think of like the nuance in tone. People are like starting to tap into the unconscious that you're, for instance, not confident on an answer to a question, right? Those are scenarios I think a lot of us have encountered personally, either answering a question, right? And you're trying to think through an answer. Doesn't mean you're lying, but it certainly means you're maybe not as confident as if, someone, who's a photographer was asked about their favorite camera, right? Like they're going to just hammer an answer because they know this versus if you're trying to think through a progression, right? Like those subtle changes now start to become possible with AI. So you supercharge the listening. Something very interesting about human beings is we actually tune down our ability to hear from a child to when we get older. So it's something like 380 plus phonemes we can hear as human being as babies. And I think based upon biology, it helps us to hone that down to like where we are and how people have used it their communication abilities. A machine doesn't have that limitation. A machine can detect more. It can be, in a way, non-biased versus a person. It can be multilingual. It can be faster. So it doesn't replace a person, but it helps you hit subtleties like uncertainty. And for what I deal with, it's volatility in the marketplace.
Yeah, so let's explore that just a little bit. You mentioned the earnings call example. So what are the kinds of things that you may be able to detect when you're listening to the CEO or the CFO deliver the earnings call?
Yeah, this is specific for earnings, right? Two very important use cases are one I just mentioned, volatility. So you think of the VIX is probably the most common volatility indicator that in the world people are very familiar with. That's a measure of options that are being put out into an exchange, the CBOE, and it's an indicator of volatility, right? It rises when more activity is happening in kind of a very simple sense. The thought that voice, when you're getting nervous about something, we've shown this even at the very, it's kind of crazy, sense of before COVID, months before COVID, we saw that through these calls, voices started to sound more uneasy, more volatile, and we had an internal, you know, test and measurement that showed this rising and rising and rising before the March flash crash, essentially, like months beforehand. So you think about why would that be, and when you can learn hundreds of calls, hundreds of hours of executives being asked questions, and you now merge them together and start to see a little bit of uncertainty, which is like wavering in your voice. That's a pretty important number to understand and add and detecting to before.
Yeah, and right now,
the other one which applies to,
I'm sorry.
You say the other one that applies to everything is clarity in voice. So now, which could apply to capital markets, it could apply to this interview, it could apply to anything, honestly, sales. It's like very universal. Is it being clear when you speak, like your intonation, part of it's your microphone, that certainly is a piece, but really like the ability to communicate clearly and crisply, that's being shown now as a measure of training volume. So this is very bleeding edge research, where if essentially you're clear and people can hear you, they're going to place more bets, positive or negative. You know, it's about volume thing versus if you're muddled, not the case. So those are now, you know, other use cases being shown in capital markets.
It's fascinating. Without getting overly technical, if at all possible, when someone's using your product and they're analyzing, we'll stay with the earnings call example, and we're seeing the different tones of voice, what kind of feedback, visually or what type of data are they receiving that helps them to understand what the tone of voice means in those circumstances?
Yeah, so it's nothing visual. It's all data for us. So our customers are in the business of taking new feeds in and essentially incorporating them together. So if they're comfortable with what it should, you know, the phenomenon is trying to cover, you know, if you're measuring satellites and the movement of traffic, or if you're doing voice tone, or if you're doing language, right? If they're comfortable with that through some testing, they will purchase and use it within their models. What we give them are the primitives of voice, so they don't have to take MP3 files and build algorithms to condense voice and understand what's important, and even doing the research, like the questions you just asked me, that research is coming almost uniquely from Helios. So we work with universities, we do our own research, we learn from clients as much as we can, though hedge funds don't tell you too much, and that gives us information to share. So something that seems potentially very like counterintuitive is we are continuing to progress most transparency that we possibly can. So you would think maybe that the algorithms that you have would be totally closed box, like you would never want anyone to know how you measure voice. We thought that years ago. It's actually with our new product this year, the totally opposite. We're using the world's top toolbox for voice analysis that we have a unique partnership with the world-leading AI engine, a company called Audiri in Germany. They have dozens of PhDs, 10,000 citations across the world over the last 10 years. That transparency, we believe, advances the marketplace. That helps us because everyone can have more confidence and understanding. And that's a big piece of like driving this towards other domains too. So it's the same consistent toolbox, just like with big AI LLMs like Llama and things like that. This is another domain where I'm sure it'll start leaking more into sales. It'll start leaking more into customer service, content creators. I talked to several of those who are interested, who build videos, right? Who are on X or YouTube or anywhere, I guess everywhere. They want to communicate better. The tone is important for all of it.
Yeah. And Sean, for folks who are watching, listening, and they want to learn more about you or Helios, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Probably through the website. So it's helioslife.enterprises. We wanted to be cool and not use .com. that's probably the easiest way.
All right, good. So we're getting close to a commercial break here. And rather than take you down a rabbit hole, we're going to pause here. Sean, you sit tight. Folks at home watching and listening, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Behind the Numbers after this quick break.
Hi, I'm Angela Pipersburg, and I have a new show here in RVN Television called The Angela Pipersburg Show. And I want you to join me every week as I sit with guests and we discuss their life journeys, share wisdom, and tips that will inspire you to live your best life. Don't miss The Angela Pipersburg Show every week here on RVN Television, where we're celebrating life and we're inspiring you to greatness.
Hi, I'm Dr. Esther Malave, and welcome to my show, Achieving a Better You. Through this show, we're going to explore ways to make a better version of you. For example, nutrition, finance, fitness, health. Remember that there's always a way of making a better version of yourself, no matter what the circumstances are. And remember to look for Achieving a Better You show on RVN TV.
Some say the world has never been more divided, more self-centered,
gosh, thank you so much,
more uncaring.
Thank you. Oh, miss! Thank you.
That we've never been more disconnected. But through our windows, we're able to see so much good every day. And it's clear that a little kindness is never really little.
Did you know that only 8% of people who set their goals, they actually succeed in achieving them? Well, if you want to be a part of that 8%, then you need to tune into Achieve with Wanda Martin, where I will teach you tips, tools, and strategies on how to achieve your goals in any field and on any level. So tune in, watch me on the RVN Network on how to.
And welcome back to Behind the Numbers. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and today we're talking with Sean Austin, who's the founder and CEO of Helios Life Enterprises. Sean, welcome back. In addition to your role as the CEO and founder at Helios, you're also involved with another company called Markets EQ. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so through all the conversations since Helios was founded in 2017, it always came back to this is really cool stuff. How can I use it? And being, requested to have a product that could leach out into other spheres besides quants. So the decision was last year through a little inspiration from, I think, the world of like Jack Dorsey and Elon Musk, who have millions of companies or something under their belt. The idea is it wasn't compatible to have a new type of company built on Gen AI within Helios. So we launched a company called Markets EQ, with the founding team. So I'm a co-founder of that and CEO. It's a startup meant to address that problem. So instead of offering, which would not be usable to you, for instance, a six-figure data feed that Helios sells, totally not viable, you can go to essentially an AI tool that can analyze any communications that exist. So we have now clients who are uploading sales training. We have clients who are uploading, well, actually, earnings calls are a piece of it, but those who can't buy a large data feed because they're not a quant hedge fund, which is most people on the planet, they want to see something that says, how complex was my language? How volatile was my voice? All the things we've been talking about, but in a simple to access interface, which then you can ask using generative AI any question of it to go deeper. So we've seen communicators get better from it and builds confidence already. And it's only been a couple months that we've launched.
That's interesting. So that's the flip side of the coin, so to speak, because if folks are able to use that to better train and hone their presentations, are they ultimately able to, we'll call it, trick the system then? If they get trained in how to speak so that your program maybe doesn't recognize the shift in tone that may be concealing certain information.
So it's funny because that question does come up a lot because there's a cat and mouse to the world of investment, especially. We think the awareness, and I think the awareness is most appropriate for the way to think about it. If it's not even being available across the board, so quants can't use it to have the machines understand, so machines being tone deaf is a problem. And that essentially applies to all of us, the other communications. So an aha moment last year was I had a training coach, a speech coach, like a pitch coach, for an event at South by Southwest I was on stage for. So assigned. So I thought it would be interesting. I'm doing a voice tone, and I can imagine doing that without support. So being aware of my tone helped me quite a lot. It didn't make me more truthful. It didn't make me right. It made me a better communicator. That's exactly what we're trying to do with Market CQ, is that awareness can drive true results, better outcomes, and more confidence. So not too worried about gaming. That's something that's going to want this voice tone.
Gotcha. Talk a little bit about the data collection process. I can't imagine the amount of data, the volumes of data that you have to collect to start to be able to detect the patterns that you are able to detect.
It's a lot of audio that we process. It's one of the kind of like proprietary pieces of Helios, which is, it's nearly 1 million hours of earnings calls that we buy from FactSet. So shout out to anybody from FactSet, right? It's a great platform, uniquely position to actually bring in audio that we saw before any of the other platforms that exist out there, the other giants of the world, the Bloombergs, the S&Ps and whatnot. So we take that and we crunch it, like you said, through a whole bunch of processing, a whole bunch of Google Cloud compute time. And that's what we have, you know, huge value at, right? Back to, these are now open algorithms. So you can go read about them in tons and tons of literature of the last decade. But it's that crunching process. So to exactly your question, that is a expensive and time-consuming process, right? Not only to connect it and pay for it, but to acquire all that data. So it's potentially, we don't know how to confirm this, but it is actually potentially the world's biggest data set for the capital markets. So we spoke to, we try to verify that all the time. And it's a cool little plug, because it's gigantic. It's a gigantic audio data set that we think can be, you know, a vast well of information for funds.
Interesting. As you're speaking, I'm thinking to myself, I would be fascinated to know if you were able to sort of back test this on some of the Enron's earnings calls to see what you may have uncovered, and if this were available at that time, what might have transpired. So with that as kind of the backdrop in the thinking, can you share with us any examples of the kinds of discoveries that has been identified in these earnings calls, and, you know, things that you've been able to tease out in advance?
I think that point on like negative events or bankruptcies, that's a line of research that's being looked at by some universities now. So you have to have event categorization, which exists out there, and then you compare it with it. So we have not seen results yet, but I can imagine there would be detectable signals. I think the two I can describe, right, because they actually are out there and the results are actually published publicly in one way or another, right, is the one I mentioned at COVID beforehand, which was, we thought, you know, totally wild. We didn't do it before. Like, we're not traders. We're not trading our signal. We're not a fund. We may pair with one, you know, and share on small, like, voice-only fund is a thought in the near future, but we don't trade on it. So we did this after COVID, thinking exactly what you asked, like, could we see something? And we had the data, certainly now it's in the past, but could we see something? And that was when we took earnings calls and we were looking at the differentials in people's voices when they were asked questions. So do you basically kind of sound off is what I think about it. That rolled up across all these hundreds of calls during the day over the course of several years. We plotted it for years before COVID, and then like a year after, you see this huge rise in this volatility, you know, voice volatility index, which was, you know, I forget, like over the norm, like 50% higher, or some gigantic rise. So that got a lot of people's attention, and we shared that years ago. It aligns with what we think should be true very much, right? Like back to that, what we talked about. The other one that's kind of cool is if you have really important information that you know is coming, like an acquisition. So for instance, like Mark Benioff buying Slack, bought Slack, but when it's happening, right, there's months and months and months before it happens. This is known, especially to Mark Benioff, right? There's internal board reviews, of course. There's tons and tons of things happening before you say it on your earnings call. That rapid, the gravity of something like that, we thought could weigh on someone and make them sound different as well. And it turns out that's the case. So we looked at like 9,200 M&A events and saw a pretty shocking signal that existed for acquisitions that were to happen in the next quarter. So same idea of like a differential, but if it's weighing on you, even though you're not being asked about it, it showed that the people sounded slightly different. You know, they didn't quite sound like themselves in a way.
Yeah, interesting. And in the case of Enron, it wasn't even so much about portending the bankruptcy. Ultimately, it was, I was wondering if the algorithms could detect sort of the deception in the tone of voice, if there was any such deception, if somebody who's capable of doing what they were doing is able to even unconsciously convey that sort of deception.
I can tell you, so we don't sell a deception fee, but everything I've seen around like depositions are a big research line of this is that it is doable. So it's possible clients of ours are actually making a voice deception signal. They, of course, wouldn't share that with anybody in the world, but that had been shown to be true. We started looking at how to partner with a company to build that. Possible that's done this year, but I would say it is a high likelihood you would take voice and be able to align that. You know, again, it won't be like a perfect, you're lying or you're not, but all these are signals that point in a direction and kind of flag voice and comments.
Yeah, and even less than the intentional deception piece, let's talk about confidence. So if a CEO, for example, is talking about next quarter, next year, and projecting a certain growth rate, but you know, maybe they're a little uncertain, that would certainly manifest itself in their voice, right?
Definitely. And everyone does have their own baselines, right? It changes, like time's a part of this. My voice doesn't sound the same 10 years ago. Think about like I used to get, you know, well, the pitch changes over time is an obvious one, but you know, my hands were sweaty when I used to do any public speaking and that type of thing. So voices do change. So you need to always, I know this is happening, recalculate for a person or a small population, but definitely confidence is a big one. Like we all detect that. It's one of the reasons Larry Fink is a pretty confident speaker. They're not doing too bad, right?
Yeah. When you're doing the data collection, Sean, are you gathering other baseline, if you will, speaking engagements from any of these other CEOs where they're communicating and using that to sort of calibrate?
So besides the earnings calls, you mean?
Yeah.
Yep. So we do conference calls. The majority is still earnings. It's okay. A big corpus, but conference calls, investor day, special presentation, there's a world around it that I would say it's probably like a 60-40 split. So still, again, majority earnings, but a nice corpus beyond that we still get from FactSet, because FactSet's trying to kind of cover the financial world. Something that we've continued to think about, and it starts to leak into where voice matters beyond, right, our interviews, actually. And strangely, or funny, because we're on this interview, but that those sessions, right, you're having questions, you're talking, they're a form of communication, of course. Those things on the CNBC, Bloomberg, et cetera, are like very interested in trying to figure out how to pull those in. We know they exist. We know there's feeds. We're just not quite there. That's a monstrous set of audio. It's like, right. To get into that.
Yeah. Sean, for folks who want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
The best would be our website, helioslife.enterprises. And for anyone interested in Markets EQ, which you can actually sign up for directly, because you're, for those who aren't quants, it's marketseq.ai.
Thank you for that. Sean, we're getting close to the end here, but I want to squeeze in as much as I can. And you alluded to a few other potential use cases. You alluded to legal, which certainly makes intuitive sense. Right now, we've got the voice recognition with Siri, Alexa, and even just online customer service routine. And as I mentioned, Siri, my watch just acknowledged the fact that it thinks I'm talking to it. Is there any potential development there for those types of digital virtual assistants to become more attuned to tone of voice to recognize emergencies or other things?
So 100%. I think that is a potentially $1 billion idea in it, because I mean, totally upfront and very clear to me, there is not $1 billion in hedge funds for us selling data. You think it's a very profitable product and lane, but what you're talking about, like the consumerization of it, I think is what makes it go, you know, very, very wide. The, you know, two quick things I saw OpenAI just talk about tone, which I think is on their language in their latest update. So it's now having memory around tone that I can configure responses. That's very interesting to me, because they're going to leak into the voice space. They already have Whisper and some things that make it very conversational and audio based. The other one is that I know like leading firms like Walmart and others are starting to really focus on this conversational, which Gen AI has exploded, but this conversational and voice activated commerce. So Walmart being a total, you know, juggernaut and just innovator and doing great things at CES, they're starting to show these CES this year, they're starting to show these capabilities. I can imagine if voice tone was incorporated into that, you could understand things like urgency. So someone has a screaming baby and they need, you know, in the background and they need something, right? Like it's an urgent scenario. Those things could be detected from voice because you can't detect it from the words. You can say, I need diapers. That's totally different if I'm saying it in a passive, non-urgent way versus someone else. So I've seen this very, I think, innovative company start to take notice. But that's another example, like Siri, like you said, in e-commerce, of course, you know, Amazon, Walmart, these would be huge.
Yeah, emergency response. I can imagine if we were listening to the background of emergency response phone calls, that wouldn't be a bad idea either. Sean, we're getting really, really close here, but in about 60 seconds, I want to give you the final word. Either share with us what's next for Helios, or if you have any advice for aspiring entrepreneurs, you certainly have had an amazing journey of entrepreneurship. Your final word.
But use the advice one. You know, if anyone wants to check out Helios and MarkBusyQ, they have the links, but pounding the pavement is a term I've heard from a really trusted advisor now for about a year. And I think it encapsulates advice of if you want, you know, have a vision for a future and you really want to see it happen, that perseverance and pounding the pavement, which sounds not like groundbreaking advice maybe, but I certainly hold it close to my heart and go after it. So I think that's been a very helpful piece of pinning to where I am.
No, appreciate you sharing that. I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we're out. Really appreciate you spending some time with us today here, Sean. I do hope that you're going to stay in touch because I really am eager to hear what happens next with you and where you take this.
Appreciate putting me on.
All right. We have been talking with Sean Austin, who's the founder and CEO of Helios Life Enterprises, also MarkBusyQ. Definitely check them out. A lot of interesting things going on there. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and I'm the one that clients turn to when they want to know their most important assets are worth. So if you're a business owner and you don't know what your business is worth, we should have a conversation. You can find me on LinkedIn. Thanks to the Big Cheese for running the board today. And as always, thank you out there for watching and listening. We can't do without you. If you enjoy the content, please consider leaving a review. Everybody who works on the show here will greatly appreciate it. That's all we have for today, folks. We'll see you next time on Behind the Numbers. Take care.